It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM, and it is December the 16th. A couple of things first. Do we have a shortened version of our show because Santa Claus is coming. He's got to take precedence over sports here at the station, so he'll be on at 7. So we need some time for a little bit of COVID cleanup prior to Santa coming in. We definitely don't want to infect Santa for all the kids.
No, we don't. And I hope at this point everyone has gotten in their letters and requests and everything. I'm sure at this point he's probably close to having everything wrapped up.
And as well as he's doing a good job, he's staying healthy, he's keeping his distance. I'm not sure he'll wear the mask either, but who knows? He may be wearing a mask as well.
He probably is, but at the same time, where he's isolated, you know, on the North Pole and everything, they probably are better off than the rest of us.
Let's hope. Again, we will, a little bit of an abbreviated show. We'll probably cut out around 6:45-ish, so may run our breaks a little bit quicker here. First, want to start out with a little bit of, a little bit of sad news. Again, I'll be a little selfish here. A couple days ago, lost a good friend of mine, former roommate, teammate, classmate from here. He graduated from Ipsy Napier. He moved from Powell County in around 77, 76, 77. Marty Feltner, who was a longtime teacher at Estill County High School, or excuse me, Montgomery County High School, and later became an administrator as a principal in Fleming County and a superintendent in Nicholas County, passed away last Friday. It brought me a little bit of a touch of reality, I guess, with someone my age. He's a couple months older than me. Sent me a happy birthday wish last Thursday on Facebook. And then I got a call on Friday morning that he had passed away. So sometimes, folks, and I'll say this to you guys out there, tell somebody you love them and you care. Tell them how you feel, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And, came as a shock to me. He was 58 years old. Retired a couple years ago as superintendent from Nicholas County and was living his life in Montgomery County with his wife. And had three kids. Four. But anyway, I still send our thoughts and prayers out to folks over there. Again, Marty Feltner, a longtime friend. We graduated the same year at 81. He graduated before I did at Eastern. Started working at Estill County High School as under Bart Rising, an assistant basketball coach, and he did his internship there for teaching about the time they moved to Montgomery County. So he went with them to Montgomery. And it got a good start. So, again, thoughts and prayers go out to his family tonight. Wasn't a COVID-related thing, or at least as far as I know, but it was sudden and unexpected. So it was a little bit of a shock to me on Friday, especially, like I said, when you receive a birthday wish on Thursday, and then all of a sudden on Friday they pass away.
Yeah, and in many respects, you know, no matter how old someone is, it's never long enough. Right, in many respects, as long as someone is healthy. Now, obviously, if someone is, you know, older in age or something and has health issues, better to stay or go, you know, depending on the quality of life that you actually have. It is unfortunate, you know. I mean, my thought process is that we all have so much sand in our hourglass. Once our sand is up, it's our time to go, no matter what causes, you know, the incident, for it to happen. It's never easy on anybody, regardless, to lose a loved one, lose a friend, lose a family member, a colleague, no matter what the circumstance is. It's always very difficult to lose someone. And obviously, our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone. 2020 has just been a devastating year on so many different levels. And I know that everybody's looking forward to the next 15 days let's get out of this in a sense, and let's get on to 2021 and hope that it's a step up from what we've experienced in 2020.
Let's hope. And again, send our thoughts and prayers out to the Feltner family and there in Mount Sterling and in Hazard. He had family there as well. So again, our thoughts and prayers there. Right now, since we've got to move our breaks up a little bit, we're going to go ahead and step away for our first break. Come back with some COVID updates here on PCSN Live with David Kinn here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
The time has never been better. The big Finish sales event going on now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. From employee pricing to 0% financing, the best is available now on all new 2020 and 2021 Chrysler products. Before you buy anything, go by and see the good guys with great service at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. You're going to like the way they do business. Give them a call at 606-663-2856.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like PhoneSmart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. And as always, Appalachian Wireless has the most unbelievable sale. Appalachian Wireless has made shopping for the holidays safe and more accommodating to meet the needs of our customers. The one-day sale of years past is now a rest-of-the-year sale. Simply visit one of our 27 retail locations and get what you need through the end of the year. Or reserve online to make an appointment for the phone you want, and we'll call you when it's ready. Happy holidays. We are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Numbers. We're going to talk numbers a little bit about COVID and where we are. We are still not, we're still way too high, but we have plateaued. So we'll kind of talk about that again here in a moment, but go first with the numbers with Ken.
I'll give you the total case count here in Kentucky, 230,693. There were 2,898 new cases today. Total deaths, 2,262. Of the new cases, of the 2,898, 317 are new cases 18 and under. And there were 23 new deaths today. The positivity rate, 8.57. So the positivity rate has continued to kind of trickle down, you know, which is a good sign. But again, unfortunately, way too many under the circumstances. Still, the numbers as far as like the 20 to 70, basically, you know, that's still obviously the main crux of all of it, but still that 10 to 19 years of age, almost 24,000 people in that age range that have been affected by that. So that's
10%, right?
Yeah, 10%. You know, I mean, that's it's almost kind of a tough pill to swallow, in a sense. You
it's
know,
also the group that probably gets tested the least.
Agreed. And obviously, and I heard a conversation the other day that, in a sense, that they're going to have to try and find a way to get that age group tested more.
Yeah.
And how do you go out, how do you reach them at this point? That's,
well, you can't require a test.
You can't, you know, and obviously with school not in session, almost like a blood drive in a sense where you could set up and have them to come, those that wanted to test, but then you'd almost have to have parental permission, and that's a whole nother,
ball of wax.
Right. Yeah. But still just the idea that that group is being neglected in many respects, as far as the number of tests that are actually taken. When you look at Powell County's numbers today, we currently have 615 total cases from the beginning. 560 have recovered, so that leaves 47 active cases today. There have been 8 deaths. For the week, yesterday there were 49 cases. On Monday, there were 55 cases. So 55 on Monday, 49 on Tuesday, and then today we have 47 cases today.
Active total.
Cases, yes. So when you look at that, you know, we're still around that 50 mark. Again, as we talked, you know, prior, still too many, you know, 50 cases. Of course, it's better than we were a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, you know, where we're in the 100s. So at least at this point, the numbers have come down. Still too high, though, under the circumstances.
Now, the number was there for today, was, you say, 6?
Today, 6 new cases,
six,
yes.
6 new cases. And that's a number that's kind of been, I hate to say this, fairly consistent as of late. Anywhere between 4 and 8 is kind of an average number, I think, for daily here in Aaron County. And to me, that's a lot. When we went months with no cases, now we're looking at 4 to 8 as normal. It's just kind of an odd feeling to me. Yeah, I would love to see us do better with our distancing, with our mask wearing. You know, I don't have any, and you don't know how many people are washing their hands. You do see whether or not they're wearing their mask. You do see whether or not they're distancing. You can, those that are visible, washing their hands is something you really don't visually, obviously visually see. But you just wonder if we had done better for a long period of time, where would we be? I'm not sure we'd be in as bad of a place. However, I do think in the fall, the winter of the year is the worst time for this. So I think we have done well here past the Thanksgiving holidays. And I say that in kind of a weird way. I think a lot of people got tested prior to, maybe found out they were positive prior to Thanksgiving break. And at the same time, the governor issued mandates to shut down bars, restaurants, to in-person or indoor seating, if you will, and they could do the tents or whatever outside. But I think it helped. I really do think that, you know, shutting down the restaurants, the bars, and arguably the schools, which was another one of the things that he had done. However, there have not been a lot of cases through the schools. But you do wonder, had that not happened, where would these numbers be without that interaction with shutting things down? I think the number would have been higher than what we're seeing today. And then now we're coming up on reopening back to 50% capacities in restaurants. And then in about 10 days, you've got your Christmas holiday and New Year's. And those are big time spreader events if you allow them to be.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting, too, is that so now we have after Thanksgiving, so things have kind of leveled out, and maybe not much. Maybe people just kind of stayed home and didn't necessarily have the Thanksgiving like they normally would. So the numbers weren't necessarily affected that much here, it seems, after Thanksgiving. But now you have the restaurants opening back up again, the bars opening back up again with Christmas holiday. What are things going to be like here in 2 weeks, right? When we get to the first of the year, what are those numbers going to be, you know, January 2nd, 3rd, 4th, in that time period, knowing that the restaurants did open back up, plus the holidays, plus New Year's at that point. Now, what are those numbers going to look like? And I understand why the governor made the decisions that he did at the time. And I even understand to some extent reopening up the restaurants. But on one hand, so many restaurants are already suffering enough as it is. I'm not so sure that they're going to get a big influx of business over these next 2 weeks that's really going to make that much of a difference for them between opening and closing on their own accord.
Well, the folks you have to me in the restaurants, folks you feel for the most are probably the hostesses, the waitresses, waiters. Those are the folks that are working, you know, getting your food and really working for really a low wage and just depend on tips.
Yeah, and they only make $2.13
an
hour.
there has got to be a better way through COVID that I'm not saying the businesses need to pay them a higher wage, but when you reduce their potential income by reducing the number of folks that can come in, at least they're able to work a little bit now. And that's a good thing for them, and you hate to see that, but I guess, you know, and I don't see the economic issues, I guess, around here that we're seeing nationally with the huge food shortages that you're seeing, the long lines like in Texas and California. And I'm sure they're here. We just don't see them as well. And to me, sometimes that's kind of we kind of settle and we're kind of misled by what we see. It's kind of what we don't see that's the problem. But, you know, folks got to be aware that, you know, we're going to get through this thing. It's going to get really weird for a while. The vaccine's out. You've got the availability now to healthcare workers, and a lot of those folks are not taking the vaccine for whatever the reason. First responders, again, more people than not are not taking the vaccine. This is not what the national folks and the CDC and the FDA and all the politicians, I think they really want this vaccine utilized, and I'm not sure folks are ready to make that commitment yet.
Well, and you and I talked prior to going on air, for me personally, and even for other people that I've talked to, I think, for lack of a better way of putting it, the jury is still out.
Yeah.
Meaning they've pushed this thing through so fast that let's keep getting some more results of people who have taken the vaccine, and let's see what side effects or allergic reactions or whatever might be with that before I make more of an informed
commitment.
Decision.
Yeah,
right. It's not so much that I won't take it, other than I'm not willing to take it right now. Let's let more time and more information come back in before that decision is made.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. It's been out now for at least, it's the third day. We don't know any symptoms or side effects or any effects at all so far, really here after Monday. So give us at least 2 weeks to look at the possible results and scenarios, and let us make a better informed decision on these things going forward. And I think folks can make a good informed decision. I think the healthcare workers, after a couple of weeks, they want to see the same thing we're talking about. They want to see, is it safe? And, you know, when the healthcare community kind of questions it or isn't willing to jump on board, then I kind of, as just a layperson, I'm thinking, is there something up? You know, that's kind of where.
Yeah, it makes you question why, right?
Yeah,
what's their apprehension?
Yeah,
but maybe they're in the same boat as us in the sense that they just want more information. And it's not so much more information that I'm going to look online at WebMD or FDA or, you know what I'm saying, or even the CDC or anything like that, as much as more information that I'm hearing from people who have taken it.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden I can get that information. Oh, okay, you took the shot. Oh, well, what were the effects? Did you have any? If not, then okay.
Yeah.
And the more we hear that minimal effects, okay, a reddening where the shot was given or something, okay, I'll give you that. Now all of a sudden I'm buying into it, but at this point there's not enough buy-in because we don't have enough information to make that decision.
Yeah, let's don't rush to judgment on the vaccine. I think all these pharmaceutical companies did a fantastic job getting this out there quick. FDA did a good job of getting it approved quick. They said they went through all the steps, all the phases that needed to. Obviously, you can't do long-term studies on something for 7 months. But normally it takes the CDC or the FDA about 7 years to approve a medication. This is 7 months. This is really
unprecedented.
So that is what it is. So we'll kind of leave the COVID where it is right now. We'll step away from another break. Come back and talk sports as we start practice this week here on WSKV's PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437. or find more information at HinkleContracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
Welcome back. Sorry about that. Kim's pointing at the, I had my earphones off, didn't hear where we were, so I'd apologize. We were talking a little bit about planning and how you plan during COVID, as far as school, and we're talking about coaching. Practices opened up Monday, per KHSA guidelines, that schools were allowed to practice, and it was a district decision. So our district, I'm assuming Ken's practicing tonight because he sent me a text message earlier, had to send a scoreboard, and I haven't seen the scoreboard, but I assume they're practicing today or tonight. And again, the season starts right now, the 4th of January. If you can't get practices in now, up to Christmas, does it do you any good to start on the 4th? Now, the next question you're going to start is, what is the fan situation going to look like when we start January 4th?
That is a good question. And on one hand, especially for home games here in Powell County, as large as the gym is,
yes,
you could still do 20% and still have plenty of room, you know, for people to come in and socially distance. Who knows what that decision will even be? Will they just allow the student athletes, you know, all of a sudden they're allowed to have two tickets per family member, and at that point, you know, you're limiting who can and who can't come? I would assume that they'll probably wait to the 1st of January to see what those decisions are going forward, and then maybe even a game-by-game basis.
Well, I think from listening to the meeting last week, and listening to it for a couple hours, so listening to the KHSA meeting, this is what I took from the meeting, and the KHSA doesn't want a lot of folks in games the first 2 weeks of season. They want to do it in increments. So I think what they're sending out to schools is maybe you really limit your capacity the first 2 weeks. If everything is going well, up your capacity. I think it's still going to be a district call, but the fear from the KHSA, because the commissioner wanted to actually push it back further. And it was a close vote. It was either 9-8 or 8-7. It was a one vote difference that started on the 4th. And I understood why they chose the 4th date, because the other day would have pushed the thing back into May, into the season, which would have really taken away from spring sports. So we'll get into that discussion later. But that was kind of the thought process, I think, by them. Also, the commissioner was kind of leery of the first 2 weeks after the holidays. You got Christmas and New Year's back to back. So he wanted to give that 14-day window in case there was spread, that you limit your players been able to have like a major outbreak on your on the teams, pushing it back farther so you won't have as many closures during the season, which made sense. So I think they're talking limiting, really limiting the first 2 weeks, which may be no fans. I don't know. I haven't talked to Mr. Brewer on what the discussion has been with the health department and superintendent's office. So I haven't talked to anybody about that yet. It's a little early, like you said, to really get into that. But you have to have be planning for that. So I'm sure planning is already in place. Doug does a really good job as athletic director to get his plans out there. I just haven't asked what they are yet. That's probably coming up here in the next couple of weeks. So I really think they'll be limited the first 2 weeks.
And I would suspect as well, obviously, you know, the mask, you're going to have your temperature checked, you know, in order to enter, that kind of thing. Again, the size of the gym,
yeah.
There's plenty of room, you know, for seating. Now, if all of a sudden now we have an away game and it's at Owsley County, their gym is
different.
A lot different under those circumstances. So, therefore, now all of a sudden maybe you're 30 people.
Well,
maybe,
if, you know. And they said a lot was going to be kind of mirroring volleyball because it was the first indoor sport that they really could kind of have it and see what they're doing. The numbers are a lot higher now in the state as far as the COVID numbers. So you would think that you'd be a little bit more leery. But when we finished up volleyball and district play, which was a district decision, with no fans. Prior to that, they were limited capacity. Limited capacity in volleyball is normal, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
Limited capacity in a basketball game, and it's a little bit different for girls and boys, and I hate to say that, but it is. Boys normally have a little bit larger crowd than the girls do. That being said, if you take 15% of capacity, we're at 3,800, I believe, so we're talking you're going to get in almost 500 people. At 15%, guess what? That's a normal crowd at a basketball game.
You're right, and
I mean it's.
And at that point, though, again using the Powell County gym, at that point, are you pulling out the bleachers from the other side?
All the bleachers are out as of right now.
Right, and at that point, now all of a sudden, are you kind of telling people, you know what I'm saying, where you can kind of go or you can't go, or someone kind of policing, saying, oh, wait a minute, you're too close. Here, you need to move down a couple of seats or down the bench, whatever it might be.
I will say this. If fans want to participate and come into the games, they will have to adhere to whatever is going on in the building. If not, you may see a really limited crowd soon. I think they're going to kind of sit you places upstairs, downstairs. Reserve seats are kind of out. I think I already talked to Doug, and he says he's already given back a lot of money for his reserve seating. So those things are kind of out the door, if you will. But when we get into the numbers, we'll kind of let you know prior to starting of games. We'll be on, I guess, the 29th will be the next. We'll be off next week, the 23rd. But the next time, I guess, we'll only be the 30th. So we'll come on the day before New Year's and have a show, and we'll talk more about basketball and try to have the coaches on as well to see what their outlook is for the season. But you know, we'll know more by the 30th, and we'll kind of see right exactly where we are without the 2 week numbers coming forward. But you know, I'm looking forward to having a season. We just don't know what it's going to look like yet.
I would almost suspect as well, let's just use the 15% and the 500 people. At that point, I would assume our district would want those larger numbers just to recoup some of the revenue that has been lost, right? I mean, at some point, financially,
you have to look economic.
Yeah, so at some point, you're going to have to look at that and realize, okay, we need to, you know, allow that 15%, the 500 people, in order to come, in order to make money at the gate, and again, in order to recoup some of the money that was lost, you know, during the past, whether it's the football games or even the volleyball games, et cetera, by limiting that. So obviously you have to open that up. Then it goes back to WSKV has been broadcasting the games. You know, we did the football and the volleyball games, even soccer on Facebook Live. That will continue. To what extent, we're not necessarily going to be doing all of the games, but at the same time, I'm sure that we will pick and choose those games that we feel are relevant in the sense as far as district-wide.
You know, if you guys are out there and you want to send us a message on which games you would like to see us broadcast, maybe that's not on our schedule, we can look at that and kind of reevaluate. But understand, it's going to be very difficult. You know, you're talking about boys' games, girls' games on the same night. One's home, one's away. We can't cover everything. And there are some games that you probably just lesser interest in, if you will.
And more than likely as well, varsity will probably start at 6, and JV will probably start at 7:30. So they'll
flip. Even play.
If they even play, that's a good point. You're exactly right.
You know, I've seen some people talk about, play our JV schedule, but let's play it on a different night. Well, that really kind of messes everything up because you could. We only have one gym that's playable in the winter. It's tough. That one gym is just, and you know, now we're pushing basketball back a little bit. You know, I think the state tournament, the boys state tournament, will be at the end of March, if I'm saying that right, and the girls state tournament will be the first week of April,
the first day of the postseason. As the way it stands now, will be March the 15th, and then
that's district play.
Correct. Yeah. So that would be the first week as far as that, and then they hope to finish by the first week in April.
Yeah, I talked to a guy today for about 30 minutes, and he had got the KHSA memo now that I guess I haven't saw one, but they were saying that the boys would play first, and I think third date. Similar to their date before, it's not a lot of change in the boys' state tournament, but the girls ran up into April. So I know our season got pushed back a week. Start time's February 22nd for spring sports. Season start March 29th. March 29th is about, if you get beat early in the district, you got all your kids out beginning. If you get beat the first round of region, you still probably get most of your kids out. If you advance in the region, you win the region, it's going to be a while. So you've got to kind of prepare for all scenarios. You know, if you've got a lot of kids that play multiple sports, there's not a terrible turnover. There's not a terrible carryover between the sports. I think the KHSA did a good job with that particular portion of the problem. Not a lot of carryover into the spring season. I commend the KHSA for doing that. As a spring sport coach. Now, as a basketball coach, I may have wished they pushed it back a little bit farther. But as a softball coach, spring sport person, I'm glad they did what they did.
Well, at least everything, to some extent, is going to stay on track.
Yes.
A few little tweaks, obviously, date-wise, but still at least seemingly on track to where it's not pushed out way too far, like we discussed last week. Yeah. And all of a sudden, now you're getting into those summer leagues, the travel teams, where you're not necessarily pushing too far into that.
Well, we're still pushing softball season until mid-June. So that is still longer than what we had in the past. I think the district term will be on Memorial Day, where regions was. So we're really exactly a week later at all your dates than what we were in the past. So where you usually had regional tournament on Memorial Day, you're going to be having district tournaments on Memorial Day. And then your regional tournament will be that next weekend, starting your regional tournaments, and then move go on from there. So I really think it's an okay thing. You're not terribly into June where it's going to really kind of be a problem with travel team kids leaving to play. I think if you go into June, then you got some problems, or in July, which that was a discussion they had too. So I'm glad they went with where they went. You have the end of the year, you have the end of the year. It is what it is, and it's pretty close. So really only a week and a half difference between those dates. And I think the policy board or board of control did a good job policy board did a good job of getting that ironed out. Again, it was a close vote. So there was a lot of good discussion and friendly, and they all had good points. And it couldn't really take away from anything. But, again, it was a close vote on the start of basketball. Still really don't know a whole lot about cheer. So if you're a cheer parent, I got no answers for you. I think they talked about April, May for their competition, but there will be a competition. It just will be a lot later. So I don't know how that impacts other sports. I'm sure it will. But, again, we'll see how that looks. We'll step away for another break here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Rose's Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Ridgeville. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Ridgeville.
Toyota South in Richmond, online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is Dave Fulton along with Ken Simon. And you kind of know now about basketball season, what it's going to look like, softball season, baseball season, and track. And we don't know about cheerleading yet, so just kind of keep that out there. But now we've got some football playoffs that are going on this weekend at, at Kroger Field.
Yeah, and on one hand, it's nice to think that they have continued on with the football season and the playoffs, even though unfortunately some teams dropped out due to COVID concerns. But in general, the playoffs have carried on. So we're down to the championship games. In 1A, it will be Kentucky Country Day versus Paintsville. What's interesting is Paintsville is making a return trip. They were in the championship game last year and lost to Pikeville. In the 2A game, it will be Lexington Christian Academy versus Beachwood, which is a rematch of when LCA won their first title. I think it was 2007, if I'm not mistaken. So a rematch of that one going back several years ago. Then in 3A, it will be Elizabethtown versus Ashland Blazer. And on 4A, it will be Boyle County versus Franklin County. Boyle County back in the championship game. They were in it last year where they lost to Johnson Central. And then in 5A, it will be Owensboro versus Bowling Green. And then in 6A, it will be Trinity out of Louisville versus Mail out of Louisville. They played each other last year in the championship game where Trinity ended up winning. So Trinity looking for a repeat on their winning ways here.
I think if I'm a 6A program, I just kind of default to Mail and Trinity every year, you know?
They've definitely been powerhouses. The thing that's interesting is that St. X has not necessarily been that team up there with those two coming out of Louisville. And then, even Frederick Douglass, they had a nice run. Unfortunately, they ended up losing to Owensboro by 1 point. They were in the championship a year ago as well. So, I mean, a lot of the teams that have made it this far were
they've been there.
Yeah, they've been there before. So, obviously, the Trinity Mail matchup probably going to be one of the better ones just because it is a repeat of last year's championship.
Well, I mean, in the Paintsville matchup, I kind of got to go to Paintsville. They're kind of mountain school. Good luck to them. I probably would go with Beachwood as a favorite just because my buddy Mike Stacy's superintendent up there in Beachwood. So go Mike, your Beachwood guys, get them ready to go. And I don't know, was it Franklin County and who? Was it
Franklin and Boyle County.
I got a lot of buddies in Boyle County, and again, know the AD is a really good friend of mine at Franklin County. She's also the softball coach there. That'll be a good matchup. I really like probably like Boyle County in that matchup as far as who I think will win. I really don't have a favorite in that game.
Well, Boyle County is, you know, consistently there year in and year out. They're about like Danville, right?
As they've far taken as over like, that torch.
Yeah, yes, they have, where they've kind of jumped into that rank, in a sense, as far as consistently being
now,
there.
Ashland Blazer kind of snuck in this year and kind of taken the role of who's the dominant team? I'm always
– Belfry.
Belfry, so –
who they beat last week.
Got a new player in town with Ashland Blazers.
Yeah.
Maybe – and Belfry not making that run to the state championship as they normally do. So good luck to Ashland Blazers. I know they've got a really quality team there.
And then Owensboro and Bowling Green.
That – Western Kentucky, you look at your matchups and some people got to travel a lot and some people got to just travel a little bit. That's kind
right.
of, that's kind of a neat to see, but hope all of our you know folks get out for the games, and again hope everybody is safe, and I'm sure they will be. They follow the protocol that's at Kroger Field and play the games. I guess it's what, Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday, yes. So and actually they start at 11 a.m. So 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 7 p.m.
Well, you think about it, you got to clear everybody out.
Yeah.
Bring your new crowd in. You got to sanitize in between. That it would be a I guess UK had enough staff to where they could get that done. But again, that is really a kind of a short turnaround. The game's going to take, what, 2.5 hours or three to play?
Right.
It only gives you an hour. Well, really only gives you about 30 minutes to clean up and get your other crowd seated before the next game starts. So,
it's going to be tough, right?
It's going to be tight.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what the weather's supposed to be like over the weekend. I'm sure it's supposed to be cold, but at the same time, hopefully it's not rainy.
I think it's
cold.
Better weather than what we've had today, and well, we'll continue probably having a bit lingering on tomorrow. Again, hey, folks, if you're getting excited because Santa's in town, he is, I think they've entered the building.
I believe so. I believe I saw some
some
characteristics of Santa.
The claws coming in. Yep. So we will be with you for a few more minutes, and we'll kind of get everything cleaned up so they can come in and take over. But we're going to step away for more break here, and then we'll let you know after the break here on PCSN Live.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protect Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protect Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken and Miss My Button. Been missing it all night long anyway, so I guess it's okay. Got a couple more things we want to kind of talk and wrap up here before Santa comes in to talk to you folks. And take your calls, but you got your wish last week. You had a coaching change at UK with the offensive coordinator and
quarterback coach. Right. And they've actually replaced them with one person. Pretty excited about it. Liam Cohen is his name. He was the quarterback's coach for the Los Angeles Rams NFL team. So the fact that he's going from the pros to come back to the college level to be the offensive coordinator and play caller, I'm a fan of the offense of the Rams. I'm not a Rams fan, but I'm a fan of what they do offensively. And I think with what the potential there for him to come in with the caliber of players that we have on the team, I think it's very promising.
Well, I only have one concern, or I guess this is my issue with the coach that they hired. He's been the quarterback coach for 1 year. Last year he was the receivers coach, I believe, as an assistant. He's not been a coordinator. He's only been the quarterback coach. So this is been a coach there for the Rams for 2 years, one as a receivers coach, this year as a quarterback's coach, but has never been involved in the calling of the plays as the coordinator. So are we taking a guy at UK that is not as experienced with being a coordinator and putting him into really the fire at UK where he's going to be the play caller? Now, I'm not saying he doesn't have confidence what he's going to do and the ability. They're giving a young man a chance who has never been a coordinator at UK. Kudos for that. But maybe we could have gone out and got somebody who is a proven offensive coordinator.
I don't think so, and here's why. I'm not so sure that the UK job is one that all of a sudden somebody just can't wait to join that team. If it's Alabama, if it's Auburn or something, Florida, totally different. You know, at that point, you'll jump at the opportunity. You're Ohio State. Here at Kentucky, slim pickings in a sense as far as what you're going for. So I think you take someone whose offense, who they've been around an offense that you like, mixing it up with the run in the pass. So therefore, I think it's a good move because now, if anything, we have some guy that has pro experience.
Well, he's definitely going to be hungry.
Correct. But I think he has some pro experience, and I think, therefore, going on the recruiting trail, guess what? I know what it's going to take as a quarterback's coach, now an offensive coordinator. I can help you get to where you want to be and kind of put that spin on it along those lines.
I like your thinking.
At this point, we have everything to gain and nothing to lose other than more games, which UK football consistently does anyway. So why not be excited about it?
Yeah, I mean,
listen, I explained this once before.
The only way it goes up, right? The only way it goes up,
right?
You thought?
And I've explained this before, too. I am a Notre Dame football fan, okay, first and foremost. So therefore, you know, yes, am I a Kentucky fan? Yeah. Do I want them to do well? Yes. They're heartbreakers, though. You know, you invest so much into them, and all of a sudden they break your heart consistently time and time again on the football field. So, therefore, it's like, oh, well, waste your time. At least now they're bringing in someone who at least you suspect going to bring some excitement to the offense because the defense has been solid for years at this point. Bring in somebody who's a little bit exciting under the circumstances, and let's see what might happen.
And your offensive line has been really good for years. So now you just got to get your skills people out there ready to go. UK basketball not doing very well right now. I know it's a young team. This is not his best recruiting class, I don't think. I think they're, what, 17th?
I think the level of talent continues to go down across the board anyway.
Agreed. And, you know, I'm not sure this is a bad team. I think this team will be better as far as we go along. But we got to be patient with this group of young players because this is a group where this year there are no sophomores, juniors, and seniors leading. This is pretty much an all-freshman deal. So a little bit more patience from our fans maybe for UK basketball. I'm not sure that they could be patient, but you may need a little dose of patience.
Now, an interesting change for Saturday. They were scheduled to play UCLA. Now it's going to be North Carolina.
Hello, wake up.
Right?
Yeah.
So now you're playing North Carolina on Saturday instead of UCLA, who you're probably better matched up. UCLA, a ranked opponent again. So now all of a sudden, does Kentucky go down one more? Now we're losing four in a row.
We have played the better teams closer than we've played the questionable teams that come in and have wore us out. If that makes any sense, I don't understand it, but I never will.
I would like to think basketball-wise, the second half of the game that they just played, that in and of itself proved the caliber and type of team they could be.
Yep.
And now let's take that second half.
Down 22 and had a chance to win.
Right. And had they not flubbed on the pass,
yes,
we win that game because he misses it. We get the put back with extra, you know, another second on the clock, and, you know, UK wins that game instead. Poor pass and couldn't control the ball, that kind of thing. But still, the second half, if that's what we're going to gauge them on, and I would like to think that that's how they're going to come out against North Carolina, potentially I like this team and what they showed. If they resort back to the way that they played the first half and the games prior to that, no, this is going to be a long season for them.
Well, let's hope for the best. Again, it is 2020. Again, we've got baseball news a little bit. They're talking about pushing the baseball season back until May, to the start of season. It's a month. It's a little bit of a change from last year, but pushing it back and still playing your number of games, which I don't know how you're going to do that. The players' union might not go for that. We'll see how all that plays out. A lot of free agent moves going on. We'll catch up with you in a couple weeks and see where we're going. Again, we won't be on the air next week. It is too close to Christmas, I think, for us to do a show. But we'll be back with you on the 30th. Again, at 6 o'clock. But we're going to let Santa take over the room because he deserves the house. He'll be with you guys, I'm sure, on Christmas Eve night. So, again, let's put a big speech in for the big guy.
And everybody have a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
And stay safe.
Happy
safe. Wear your masks.
Go ahead.
Wash your hands. Hand sanitizer. Keep your distance. Love the people from a distance if that's what you have to do.
Yeah, tell everybody you love them and you miss them, or at least talk to them here. Again, you never know. You never know what's going on. Again, I want to remember my buddy over in Montgomery County, Marty Feltner, 58 years old, passed away last Friday. Good night from PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts.
104.9 Pickup Country.